Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Barbeque Nation Hospitality Q4 FY21 conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this maiden conference call of Barbeque Nation. It's my pleasure to host that. On today's call, we have with us Mr. Kayum Dhanani, Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Agrawal, CEO, Mr. Amit Betala, CFO, and Mr. Kushal Bhudia, Head of Strategy, IR, and Business Development. Mr. Dhanani will provide us with an overview of the performance and key events, followed by detailed discussion on financial performance by Mr. Agrawal, and then we will open the floor for Q&A session. I would like to hand over now to Mr. Dhanani for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all, and welcome to the first earnings call of Barbeque Nation. Hope you and your family, loved ones, are safe and healthy. As you all know, FY21 was a challenging year, but also a year of a lot of learnings, resilience, and strength. Barbeque Nation had a difficult start to the year due to pandemic-related nationwide lockdowns, in fact, multiple lockdowns in multiple cities. As you're aware, that for the significant part of Q1 FY21, literally all economic activities, including restaurants, were completely closed, followed by a gradual reopening of the business. At the beginning of the FY21, our business model was predominantly dine-in and delivery sales were very limited, which had an impact on our cash flows and liquidity position. However, the strength of our brand and resilience of our team ensured a robust recovery for the business. We are pleased to announce that in the last quarter of the financial year, we recorded a revenue growth of 19% on year-on-year basis. During the year, we emphasized on adding delivery as a new line of business, a new channel of business, on top of our dine-in business, which focused on product, menu, and delivery experience. We pioneered the launch of yet another innovative product, Barbeque in a Box, to cater to the growing delivery segment. The initial response for the Barbeque in a Box has been very encouraging, and it is in continuation to our brand ethos of value, variety, and celebration. We have been able to enhance our growth prospects by creating new channels and increasing our digital reach to enable our consumers to consume our offerings through multiple mediums. Launch of Barbeque in a Box and offering delivery through our own app has been some of the initiatives taken by our teams. The organization has also demonstrated agility in managing its cost, which is very paramount in such testing times, and was successful in cost optimization across many levels. A long-term relationship with our landlords and vendors have led to obtaining rental waivers and restructuring of vendor contracts to compensate for the slowdown in the general business sentiments. And I must say that everyone has been very cooperative because of our long-standing relationship with all the vendors. The recovery in dine-in business, coupled with our focus on growing delivery business, enabled us to restrict operating losses for the year to only 5 crores. We are happy that despite the challenging external operating environment, we were successful in completing a capital raise of rupees 330 crores, and are thankful to our investors for their trust and belief in the brand and our organization. Our strategic focus on growing the delivery channel and strong balance sheet will help us overcome the short-term challenges posed by the second wave of the pandemic. We are ensuring that our employees are safe and are also closely working towards vaccinating all our employees as an organization. This was an unexpected, unusual year, and we had to close 3 restaurants in the first half of the year, which was a first in the history of Barbecue Nation in India. However, we opened 3 restaurants during the year, and as a result of our store count remained unchanged at 164 restaurants. Various strategic initiatives undertaken during the year, coupled with our stronger positioning compared to the last year, gives us the confidence to continue our growth momentum. We plan to open 20 new restaurants during the FY22 and further enhance our footprint. I will now hand over for more details to Rahul, who will take you through the performance of Q4 for FY21. Over to you, Rahul.
Thank you, Kayum. Good evening, all. Hope you and your family are safe and healthy. With reopening of economic activities and easing of restrictions in H2 of the financial year, we have seen robust revival of our operating performance. In addition, improvement in customer confidence helped us to register month-on-month increase in sales from both dine-in and delivery channels. Our consolidated revenue from operations were 226 crores in quarter 4 FY21, an increase of 18.5% over quarter 4 in the previous year. Delivery channel has grown approximately 6x in quarter 4 versus previous year. The delivery channel continued to grow even after the recovery of our dine-in business, which was very encouraging. We continue to focus on further growing the delivery business and plan to grow it to 2x in FY22. Our consolidated gross margins were 66.6% for quarter 4 FY21, an improvement of 100 basis points compared to the previous quarter. This improvement was driven by recovery in the dine-in business and increased efficiency of the buffet, leading to reduction in food wastages. Our consolidated restaurant operating margins increased from 9.7% in quarter 4 last year to 20.5% in quarter 4 this year. The improvement was on account of strong sales recovery, higher gross margins, and various other cost optimization measures undertaken by the company. Our international business has stabilized now and have reported double digits operating margin EBITDA margins in quarter 4 FY21. This is without Ind AS 116 impact. Toscano also continues to deliver double digits operating EBITDA margins, again without Ind AS 116 impact. The reported EBITDA was 56.1 crores in quarter 4 FY21 versus 24.6 crores in quarter 4 FY20. The operating EBITDA without the impact of Ind AS 116 was 31.3 crores in quarter 4 versus rupees 2.1 crores in quarter 4 of the previous year, thereby reporting strong growth. We reported adjusted profit after tax of 9.2 crores in quarter 4 FY21. Cash flow from operations continues to be strong in quarter 4, and with the capital raise in April 2021 and repayment of debt, the drag on cash profits from interest expense will reduce. We continue to remain focused on investments in our own digital platform covering reservation, delivery and loyalty. The share of business coming from our own digital platforms increased from 20.1% in quarter 4 FY20 to 24.7% as on quarter 4 FY21. Our loyalty program, Smile, has grown significant acceptance and traction from our customers. With the onset of second wave of COVID-19, subsequent lockdowns and temporary store closures, our dining channel in the current ongoing quarter has been impacted. However, we remain optimistic of a strong and faster recovery in subsequent quarters. We also remain committed to undeterred focus on guest and employee safety. We will continue to focus on our cost optimization, growing our delivery channel, and further enhancing the core Barbecue Nation brand with 20 new store openings in FY22. With that, I hand over this to the moderator for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi team. It's been great to listen to your presentation. Congratulations on a good IPO. And it's great to reconnect after a long time. So I have only a couple of questions to begin with. One, just maybe I missed the first minute or two, if at all, sorry for that. Just wanted to, understand a little more about the BBQ in a box, concept, which has been an absolute stunner as a consumer. What are the, let's say, what's your medium-term thought process on that? If I take a 3-5 year view, where it could kind of stabilize, and what are the, good and bad, part of the BBQ in a box? So that's one. The second aspect is, when I think about the margins in the medium term, one mathematical question is the way you look at it, what is the minimum SSG needed to ensure that, your margins are stable?
So I will take that to Tim. You're taking that?
Yeah. Yes, yes, please.
Okay. So, hi, Manoj. On that, barbecue in a box, this is a concept that we launched in June 2020 during.
Alison, your voice is not audible.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. You may go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. So the concept of barbecue nation, a barbecue in a box, is very similar to barbecue nation's concept of providing value, variety, and experience. Barbecue in a box is an assembly of good set of starters, desserts, main course, biryani, and we still strive to cater to the celebration segment of our consumer needs in the delivery segment. And we have seen that they have done pretty similar to in our dining business. So overall, that business contributes to almost 60-70% of our revenues from our delivery business. And as we try and increase our presence across the country, these sales points will also grow. We are also exploring whether we can take this outside of our core Barbecue Nation brand with some extension kitchens, and further increase that. Delivery also is a larger market, and right now I think we've just entered it very recently, and the growth numbers that we at least expect in this is going to be very good. In terms of your second question on margin profile, you will see that over the last 3 years we have been opening almost 25 to 28 outlets every year, which is approximately 25% of our existing base. And these stores mature pretty much in 2 to 3 years. And so if you look at FY19, FY20, some of these stores were still maturing. They were putting some pressure on our margins. And then subsequently, obviously, COVID event happened. On a normalized basis, I expect that our margins at store level should be between 22-23%, and the backend cost drag should not be more than 5%, 5 to at max 6%, and overall, increasing the margin profile from current around 13.5-14% to at least 15% should not be a challenge. And if you look at our cohort of older stores, they continue to report that margin profile. Also, delivery is incremental to us. Delivery business doesn't cannibalize our existing dining business. We've not seen that over the last so many months now. And we expect that everything beyond gross margin and contribution margin, there's a lot of variable costs there, including your packaging and your commissions that you pay to aggregators, plus your own delivery fleet. But even apart from that, the margins are accretive there. So with that, at least we expect it to be the margins overall to increase by at least 100 to 150 bits going forward. And this is obviously in a normalized state. Right now, you'll also see a lot of noise around because of COVID, shutdown, lockdowns, multiple things still being there.
Understood. And one follow-up, and that's the last one, and I'll come back in the queue. About the barbecue in a box concept, which has been, and as I said, it's an absolute stunner as an analyst or as a consumer when I think about it. I never really thought a few years back that there is a possibility of something like this. The only one thing which, to the extent you may be able to comment in a public call, given the competitive sensitive nature, but I still go ahead and ask this question. I leave the option of responding or not responding to you. What I'm trying to understand is, the sort of cohorts or the consumers who's actually, would have used the BBQ in a box concept in the last, let's say, year. What proportion of them would be your current set of consumers? What I'm just trying to understand is there a genuine case of, let's say, awareness higher than availability, which is driving growth, how do you look at this?
It's very difficult to answer that question because some of our deliveries also happen through aggregators, and there is data masking there. But in general, our empirical belief is that most of the consumers who have tried us are our loyal customers. We also see increasing orders coming from our own app on the delivery platform as more and more people are getting aware about that. I think awareness is one which obviously is slowly improving. But the other thing also is distribution points. So if you look at metro markets like Bombay or Delhi, this is also restricted because of the fact that we only have between 15 to 17 outlets in these cities, and these are the delivery points. And we are trying to also ensure that some of the larger markets like metro markets, how can we further have more point of sales and add extension kitchens, which will help in giving that growth that should come in. Otherwise, I think while the numbers are going well, I still see that the delivery market is pretty big. And also, most importantly, the Indian cuisine delivery market is among the largest, right? And we operate in that. So going forward, at least, we are excited to tap this opportunity here.
Just one more point, Rahul. Just to add to Rahul.
Yes, sir.
The barbecue in a box is also addressing one more point for us is the acquisition of a customer. You see, a lot of if you have experienced barbecue in a box, if you would notice, families order barbecue in a box where a family of six people will order only three boxes. Because the food is so abundant in that box that the cost per person becomes quite viable. So the people who generally are also not able to come to a restaurant because it's very price, it's expensive. For them, it works for us as a consumer acquisition. So people, then they will start consuming Barbecue Nation, and then they will start coming to the restaurant. So it will create a good pipeline of new consumer for us. That it works for us that way as well.
Very clear. I'll come back in this, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Kayum. Hi, Rahul. I just had two questions. First, essentially, is on the, one of the strengths that we have is the ability to get customer feedback through, at the dine-in or the post-dine-in follow-ups. How do you kind of replicate this in the delivery in a box? While I kind of agree that it's a great concept, it kind of gives us another leg for growth. I just wanted to understand how do you look at that aspect. And second was essentially on the 20 store restaurant additions that you are planning. Could you give us some more color on the, A, whether it's in existing or new cities, and B, are you kind of rethinking on the store design? That's all from my side. Thank you.
Sorry, Abhi, I missed something. Did you ask that how do you collect feedback on delivery?
Yeah, I mean, see, you do a lot of work on that end, right? I mean, I just wanted to know how does the call center get used, or is it, how do you kind of use that strength to sustain or spread that? One of the things is, you have a lot of word of mouth spread that happens. How does that work in the box concept, and how do you kind of get the feedback to ensure that it kind of generates a positive feedback loop going forward as well?
Right, so it's evolving, and if you look at it, it's pretty a young product, not even 1 year old, and the organizational DNA has been always dine-in, right? And delivery business is slightly different, and we are ensuring that on a daily basis we work towards that to improve on the experience of our customer. Be it in terms of value, variety, quality, everything. right? And in terms of the feedback, like I said, a substantial portion of these businesses now also being driven from our own app, which gives us access to immediate feedback, which gives us even in those orders, we are now doing almost 50% of calls to those customers, so that we get as much variety of feedback as possible. You would remember that we only do 20% of transaction calls in our dining business, but as of now in this business, we're doing 50% of the calls. And as and when we are getting more and more feedback across the country, we are incorporating that in our daily operations. That was on one. In terms of new store expansions, like we've always maintained, for us, signing a restaurant deal with the right rental is more important than just ensuring that we have to be in that market. We never work with that strategy. As of now, like we've also discussed in the past, we believe that our penetration in metro markets is still very low, right? In a place like NCR, Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore, we still are in double digits, early double digit numbers, right? Between 13 to 15, 17 stores. And some of the markets which are already there, which we had not gone in the past because of, substantially higher rentals. Right now we are seeing that at least these rental deals are softening. And given that the restaurant industry in particular has suffered a lot of landlords are also very reasonable in their expectations, which helps us to give and look at preserving these markets. So if I have to put a number, and this may be completely off because it also depends on what set of final negotiations we do. But my feeling is that out of 20 new stores that we're looking to open, at least 50 to 60% of these will come in metro markets, and the balance will come in tier 1 and tier 2 markets.
Okay. And if I may, Rahul, just one bit is, we are essentially in a very uncertain kind of, from a demand point of view. I mean, I would love to kind of get your kind of view on how you look at it. But how do you look at restaurant openings now? Is the point I was trying to get to is understand the margin trajectory a little more, because you will have to do it differently across different stores. So what is the underlying thought on cost control versus reopening? How do you kind of work on that balance, and what is the margin trajectory that you would aim for as we go forward? If you could kind of give us some sense. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Look, short term is going to be extremely challenging and uncertain because it's very difficult for anybody to predict how the economy will reopen in various states. And now the nature of lockdown has been more district wise and state wise, so it's actually very difficult to plan. But we have done that in the previous year. And two major costs that you have to look at is your lease cost and your manpower cost. And we have a very close eye on this, and we are trying to also optimize that and making it as much variable as possible in the current year also, like we did in last year, right? And like we saw in the last year, quarter one, quarter two, margin percentages numbers are actually not meaningful to talk about. But what's important to see is that as the business started to shape up in H2 of last year, be it quarter three, and by February last year, we had actually crossed 100% of what we did in February previous year, despite the fact that this year February was one day less, which is almost 3% of your total February top line, right? So we are hopeful that that this should happen even this quarter, even this year. And post, I think, quarter one, and hopefully if by June end cases go down and selectively some of the states start opening up and then give us permission to start our dining business, I think that that recovery should help us to build in. But in a nutshell, it's very difficult to predict short term.
No, fair enough, Rahul. This is very, thank you very much, Rahul. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. Just wanted you to address one of the concerns in the investment community regarding cannibalization between dine-in and your delivery business. So if you can just give some data
sort of show us how the dine-in versus the delivery sort of business has trended over the last couple of quarters. Like this quarter, you did 28.5 crores of delivery. How much was that number in Q3, if you could give us an idea? And then sort of the purpose of this question is to just figure out that as the dine-in proportion has increased and all the restrictions have gone away, and in Q4 you are close to normal in terms of dine-in, did the delivery business go down as people sort of went to the restaurant and therefore they did not need to get the home delivery?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Great. Yeah, so we have not seen any sort of cannibalization between dine-in and delivery business. Between quarter three and quarter four, obviously our dine-in business has grown, and so has our delivery business. Fundamentally, my view is that at least for Barbecue Nation, dining in Barbecue Nation is a very very experiential concept. You come and have obviously great value. You don't consume it alone. You come and celebrate something, and I think whatever you might say, a lot of our consumers and guests, they want to celebrate it in Barbecue Nation because of the overall experience that they get, be it from the live grill, or be it from the live counters, or be it the unlimited options that they get. And obviously, service that they get, right? And that I don't think can be compensated by delivery business. Delivery serves a different need, which is which is convenience, and that's what we have been now trying to tap. And if you look at our growth, at the levels that we are in, I think the base is pretty small as compared to what the market has to offer. So I am not particularly worried about any cannibalization happening between the two business. In fact, as we were discussing in the earlier part of the call, we are now seeing how to increase our presence in the in the market so that we can tap this opportunity more, which is what the focus would be.
So Rahul, for Q4, your dine-in was your delivery was about 12-13% of your sales. So in a normal situation going ahead, let's say assuming no restrictions on dining, etc., once COVID is over, where do you expect this percentage to stabilize, your dining, your delivery as a percentage of your total sales?
Frankly, we don't look at it that way. What we look at is delivery is a big market, and like we have also mentioned, and Karim also just mentioned, we'll target to grow delivery business almost 2x. He's this year. Dine-in business, is still not recovered to obviously its pre-COVID levels, right? And that will depend on how the lockdown rules are relaxed. But in long term, what we are seeing is how can you increase the ADS, which is average daily sales per restaurant, from the delivery business. So we actually don't look at this percentage. This percentage, if you look at quarter one, was almost 80%. Then quarter three, this number came to around 15%. Quarter four, because of recovery in delivery business, dining business, it went up to around 13%. But what is important is that this segment should continue to grow. And my belief is that given that the base is still lower, this will grow on an annual basis, at least definitely more than the dining business.
Right. So you mentioned ADS, and I'm also coming from the same perspective. So how we analysts look at it is total sales per restaurant on a yearly basis, which pre-COVID would have been somewhere close to 6 crore, not exactly, but somewhere in that region, maybe little lower than 6 crore. Now, if I add this 12 to 14% kind of contribution from delivery, as an extra, assuming that there's no cannibalization from dine-in, then we would reach closer to 7 crores per restaurant. So is this thought process in the correct direction? I mean, logically speaking, what I'm saying, does it make sense?
Yes. So if you're only taking it 15-16% on a stabilized basis, I think we should be able to do that. We have done that in the previous quarters also. Yes, that's the right thought.
Okay, that's all from me, Rahul. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My question is also slightly an extension of the earlier question. So like in many businesses we have seen in last year, that many tactical measures led to structural insights and then perhaps reimagining the whole business again. And then you alluded also that DNA-wise you are more of a dining organization than a delivery. So once things normalize, how do we plan to rationalize the bandwidth and capital both to chase or accommodate both the formats, or it will be back to dine-in as a priority and delivery will be just add-on measure of a growth?
No, that's not the way we are looking at it. Obviously, we are looking at a much detailed, both management bandwidth and time on the delivery business. And that's also because our dine-in business is pretty stable, have been around for 15 years. Over last 5 years, we have added store count at a CAGR of almost 23-24%. That's a business that we are, very comfortable with. Obviously, it has short-term challenges because of COVID, but we don't get, the market opportunity is still large, and we will continue to focus on that. On top of that, our store network of almost 150 in this country today is also an added advantage right now, right? And that's what we want to leverage more to add on delivery opportunities. So if the question is, will the focus go away? No, absolutely not. This particular business, we have been able to add without practically zero capital investment, right? And it is incremental to us, both in terms of asset term and also in terms of incremental absolute EBITDA being added to the stores. And also most importantly, the direction of the market also is moving towards that, right? So not to say that dining will not grow, but delivery is growing very well, and given that we're one of the leading players in this industry, we would like to capitalize on that, and that's one of our strengths also.
Yeah. And second, usually we have seen in dine-in outlets versus delivery that the catchment area of both the formats are slightly different. Obviously, delivery being higher or wider. So does it mean that our store expansion plan in light of this new capability that we are developing will be relooked? And obviously, again, our store outlet or the layouts, the way we design our store size, we need to actually recalibrate the same accommodating both delivery and dine-in options.
So on the catchment side, we have pre-COVID we have experienced that our guests doesn't want to come to a restaurant if it is beyond 15 minutes of your driving time, right? And the reason being that they typically spend almost 1.5 hours in the restaurant, and overall they don't want to spend more than 2 hours, be it our corporate clients or be it our friends and family clients, right? So I think and these are all the pre-COVID scenarios, with the growing traffic we've seen that that the catchment area for the brand is approximately within 5 kilometers radius of that present location, which means that at least in metro markets you have much more opportunities coming on your face to expand. And that continues. Obviously, how things shape up post COVID, our expansion in that will continue in the same direction as previously. In terms of store layout, obviously once you have to look at dining and if that numbers are growing. We are making changes in our back-end restaurant operations so that we have dedicated space for delivery, which is very convenient from the store operating team perspective. So those changes are already being done in few of the restaurants and has already been incorporated in the new designs in all our new future restaurants.
Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Susmit Patodia from Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone, and congratulations on a good quarter, Rahul. Rahul, my first question is, you mentioned that your net debt is still 11 crores. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that, because if you could just explain that, your net debt was 230 crores in FY20. You did a 330 crore raise.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Patodia. So this is the conference operator. There is
an airy
disturbance coming from your line, sir.
Airy disturbance. That's the first word, ma'am. Let me try and shut the air out. Please go ahead. If you could explain the debt number, because I thought you should have been a net cash company by now.
Amit, do you want to take that?
Sure, Rahul. Okay, so so we have raised an IPO of around 180 crores, and we have raised another pre-IPO of 150, so total was 330, right? We had a debt of around 250 crores on a consolidated basis on, as on March 20, right? And with the proceeds we're going to utilize, I believe that we could pay down a large amount of a debt and would be left with a debt of around 35 crores.
So, sorry, Sushmit, I think I'll try and explain it differently. Yes, we raised around 330 odd crores. Out of that, broadly, there were issue expenditures also, which would be to the tune of around 15 crores. So that's around 315 odd crores. And then, last year there were interest expenditures of approximately, I think, 30 odd crores, give or take a couple of crores. So you should reduce that from this, which is 285. There was the operating loss net of around 5 crores, which was 280. And then we have another, capex done previous year of approximately 15 odd crores. So that's around 265. And we have reported, as Amit said, the number was 250 as on March, right, of debt, including all the working capital lines that were drawn post November. So overall, that's how 12 crore net number comes into the books.
Sushma, this is Kushal here. Just one more thing was that the IPO money, which was 180 crores, had come in April, and the number that you're looking at is of March 21, right? So 150 crores of pre-IPO was there, which is sitting on 31st March, and the remaining 180.
Okay, got it. So today you would be a net cash company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, got it. Sorry. So that's my mistake. Okay. The second question, Rahul, is, your operating cash flow after subtracting lease payments was a small positive or close to zero for FY21, which is a top line of 500 crores. So is that the new cash break-even for the company?
It's very difficult to look at that in that manner, because some of these also include some of the one-time waivers that we have received from our landlord partners, right? And also on the employee cost, there is some sort of lag effect in terms of, when the restaurant gets shut down and when you could also, change it to a variable sort of structure, right? So broadly, if you ask me, cumulatively for the full year, if we do 500 or same dine-in business, I'll say, and incremental delivery business the way we are doing right now, we should be positive at the overall level, and we should not be losing any operating cash last year like we did in FY21.
Okay. And my last question is, you have a bold target of doubling delivery revenue this year. Is this So what would be the drivers? Menu expansion, geography expansion. What are the drivers here?
So right now, I think it is increasing penetration in the existing markets itself, which is delivery from all our 150 channels. On a run rate basis, we have done in quarter four almost 30 odd crores, right? So that itself annualized is 120 crores. And we have only saying 150 crores, which is nothing but 25% growth on the annualized number that we did in quarter four, right? That 25% growth in average daily sale from the existing market itself is doable very well. And then we are also exploring how we can further expand our point of sales for delivery business, which can be supported by the main Barbecue Nation outlet. So with that, I think we should be able to achieve what we are looking at.
Got it. Okay. So no menu expansion. You can just do it with this current offering to get to that 150 crores.
I believe so. Okay. And while we keep working on some of the menus, right, and in some cases we keep testing some menus in some part of the country and not in pan-India. So that's a continuous exercise. On the black box product, I think it has stabilized now, and right now we are not looking at expanding that. It doesn't make sense. You know, it is this product is doing well, and we want to grow in the existing offering itself. But on a daily basis, actually, various menu research and you know, R&D keep going on. But as of now, if you ask me, I've not taken that into account for the target of 2x that we have come out and given the outlook for.
Okay, got it. And just my last question, if I may. You know, there is a cash inflow of 105 crores as liabilities towards selling shareholders. If you could just explain that, please.
This is as on March, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Amit, go on.
So this is nothing but this is the money which was lying in our anchor account, right? So because we got the money from the public in the public offer account on April 7th, so this money was to be divided. So this is nothing but the selling shareholders' money.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Go ahead. No, so frankly, we completed our IPO between the two financial years, right? So that's why
March. That's a lot of confusion.
Slightly confusing, yeah. Maybe we should have given numbers for April 2021.
But then you would have given P&L, so we should not have been great. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Enite Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. So if I look at the employee costs, they were down around 31% for financial year 21. If you could give the employee count, last year I think we had around 9,500 employees. What is the count as on FY21? And you know, how do we build some of these employee costs on a, you know, fixed variable, you know, some metrics which you have introduced during the year because of pandemic? And secondly, you know, you mentioned about the potential about scaling the delivery business. So by when can we have, you know, the extended delivery or some cloud kitchen kind of model, especially in metros? Because I would guess, you know, BBQ in a box would be more metro centric to sell and easier to target these customers. So what are the action plans, of course?
Right, so on the just continuing on the delivery stuff, given that we were talking about that in previous questions also, these are still being evaluated, and also given you know, given COVID, the closure cycle of getting a site is actually taking longer, right? And this is a new concept, so we want to be very sure about how we're launching it. It's still you know, debated, under discussion, but you know, right now the focus is stabilizing this. And that's why you know, looking at a growth of almost 100% in a stable manner is what we are targeting. If this improves and we could accelerate the extended kitchen concept that we're talking about, you know, we will sort of come back. But as of now, it's very difficult for me to give you a firm timeline for that. On the employee cost, you know, historically it had been approximately, and we are talking about store level employee cost, between 21% to 21.5% of our top line. And you know, during pandemic last year, when we did a lot of work towards towards optimizing the employee cost at that particular restaurant, and also you know, reduce the number of manpower almost 10%, we have seen that that number, and this is a core employee cost at the store level, we have seen it come down by approximately 1.5 percentage points. Right, so this is, I think, on a stable state, having employee cost of between 18.5-19% of the top line for the core you know, operating stores is what we are looking at. And then there is in terms of employee cost, there is incremental cost for the back end employee cost, right? So that's the way this will work out.
One more thing on demand side, you know, when historically we've seen more in terms of our geographical South India, so because whatever is happening in the second wave, how much of, you know, demand side or, you know, deferment we are seeing, especially down south, and what is the scenario on the demand side for the current environment?
I'm sorry, your question is not. Yeah, go ahead.
Your voice was not audible. I would request you to move to a better reception area, sir.
Is it better now? Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you are.
I was trying to understand, you know, historically, it had a
decent presence down south. So what is the demand scenario in the second wave of COVID, especially in south of India? I was trying to understand.
So, you know, frankly, I don't think that's a correct statement to make that we're larger in down south. Our presence in north and central India is pretty much equal. But in terms of the recovery during second wave, in our delivery business, we have not seen any particular regional increase or decrease in the country. And a dine-in business, unfortunately, is still shut, right? So it's very difficult to give me an estimate of the regional behavior of the dine-in business right now.
Okay. Fine. And lastly, you know, on an ongoing basis, any plans of reinventing the BBQ box menu? Because, you know, after a point of time, people will get tired and repeat purchases might be difficult.
So, I think early to say, like we have maintained that freshness of the brand in Barbecue Nation for last 15 years in dining business, I think it's required, whatever changes are required from the consumer perspective, from our guest perspective, we'll keep doing that. So that is the nature of, how we operate. Any decision in Barbecue Nation are first taken from the guest perspective and employee perspective, then anything else, right? So on that front, rest be assured that if the feedback is that this is getting stagnated and we are not and the product needs to be changed or upgraded or refreshed, we will definitely do that.
Understood. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rahul and team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. So, firstly, if you can throw any color on the dining recovery that you've seen, especially in Q4. I mean, corporates obviously haven't come back fully to that extent, and you were lunch and corporate heavy, any color on despite that you managed such robust recovery in dining, and what is driving this, and also
sorry to interrupt you, Anand. Your voice is breaking in between, so I could not understand your question.
Yeah, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I was just asking on the color of dining recovery, essentially given that you are lunch and corporate heavy, despite that, you have recovered dining majorly in Q4. So, what is driving this? That is one. And also, if you can throw some color on metro tier one trends and tier two, tier three trends. I mean, is this recovery all across, or it's, more partly driven from tier two, tier three or so?
So, in terms of our corporate business, we saw at least mid-corporate started to come back in quarter four. Large corporates were still not operating. They were operating work from home, and that segment didn't come back as much as it was earlier. But the friends and family segment started coming back in a larger form. And in terms of tier mix, obviously tier two and tier three came back much faster. And the recovery in those markets we started seeing from September of 2 onwards, and that continued by till the end of last quarter before it all shut. And metro markets were also growing pretty much on double digits basis in these places. But yes, tier two, tier three had done slightly better than that.
Got it. Thanks. And just one more question on your international business. I mean, is it back to profitability as a lead over? I mean, how is it tracking? Any color there?
Yes. So on international business, I think we were extremely disciplined to not look at any sort of expansion for last 2 years, and not that we are planning to do anything right now. We are focused on bringing back the customer demand and ensuring that it becomes profitable. At the store level, this had been profitable in a full year last year itself. But this year, apart from H1, which also got impacted because of certain shutdowns in those places, H2 was highly profitable. We were doing double digits, core operating EBITDA margin. This is after the back-end cost, right? And this is on the back of a very strong same-store sales growth in that market. So now that business is not losing any money. The depreciation is still higher, so at PAT level, there is marginal a negative number there. But that also, on a pure cash-on-cash basis, that business is profitable and generating cash now. I think that's stabilized now, and we've seen that now, on the core operating numbers, when it's operational, we've seen those performances for a continued period of almost, 4 quarters now. So I don't expect any drag coming from that market.
Great to hear. Thanks, bro.
Thank you. The next question will be from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, Kayum and Rahulji. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for a good set of numbers. I have a digital question, the attempt what you have said. So you said you have 2.6 million downloads and there are the question which I'm wanting to ask is that what is the increase if you look at December quarter versus March quarter, and what is the increase in terms of traffic, in terms of converting these orders?
So I think we had 2.2 million in the month of December 2020, which had gone to around 2.6. And in terms of traffic increase, what we have noticed is that in quarter four, our dine-in recovery was stronger, and we also saw that the average group size in dine-in business has slightly increased. And in our experience, some of the larger group clients, they prefer to call our call center and book rather than booking it through a digital platform. That behavior, I think, will change over time. But as the recovery happens, people tend to just call our call center. So that's why we have seen that on the dining basis, the contribution of our app booking or app reservation has slightly decreased in favor of our own call center reservation, right? And on the delivery side, we have seen that there is increased number of orders happening from our own app in quarter four versus quarter three.
Okay. That's the related question which I wanted to ask. Barbecue in the Box, through your own app, and when you look at, are you also trying to do the food delivery competition? So what is the traffic growth you have seen? I mean, the reason why I'm asking, you mentioned that there is no cannibalization. So I just wanted to look at from the data lens, what was the Q3 number and what is the Q4 number, if you can say that in terms of delivery? With your with the competition also.
So we don't want to share that exact number, and that's why we are also restrained from giving that in the angle in the presentation.
No, you can just confirm whether there is a growth, and if you can quantify that growth number. I'm not asking the absolute number.
So there has been growth. I will not be able to quantify that growth number, but as I said, there has been growth between the share of business in delivery that has come from our own app in quarter three and quarter four.
All right. My just last question, in terms of in the current scenario, price changes and other things, and you have a big menu on your side. So given the scenario, are you facing there is an inflationary cost pressure? And the reason why I'm asking, you have done a good on the margin front. So is that the steady state margin which we can look at? Because broadly, the cost lever, what you have exercised last year, would broadly remain for FY22 also.
So yes, in normal scenario, definitely. So if you look at our gross margins, it was pretty less in quarter one, right, at 30%. But then the top line also was only 10 crores, right? So such a small gross margin, such a small top line doesn't impact overall, right? And as we have seen our business recovering, dine business recovering, and better efficiencies of the buffets that we lay down, there's a natural advantage that comes to you in terms of gross margin, right? And that's what we have sequentially seen in quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four, right? And if you look at our normalized business, which is FY19 or FY20 without last quarter, you'll see that our gross margins have been pretty stable at around 66%. And it has, if you look at long term, maybe last 5-6 years, you'll see that it has grown from approximately 60% gross margin business to around 66%. There may be a couple of more percentage points to extract here. But we are just being conservative and say that let's maintain this, and once this stabilizes and a lot of work that we're doing on the supply chain, over a period of next 3 to 4 years, we'll try and extract maybe a couple of percentage points more from here. But that's a constant, improvement game that you keep working on in your business.
Just last question from my side on the loyalty program. So how long this loyalty program you have been targeting, and if you can share some quantifying details, what is the loyalty program base, or what is the growth which you have seen over FY21 versus FY20?
So this was launched in January 2020, which is just before the pandemic, and the way to recognize your customer or your guest is with his mobile number. And in the app, immediately post your booking or post your delivery order, the Smiles points get credited to you. And we have now seen that just closer to double digit, low double digit numbers is what you are now seeing in terms of number of transactions in the company which have got the Smile points redeemed. So that has grown pretty well over last 4-5 quarters. Just when we launched this program, COVID happened, right? So despite that, we are seeing a good attraction. So I'm frankly a long-term believer of this program, and most importantly because this benefits our guests and our customers.
Okay, all right. Thank you, and all the best to you and the team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Dhariwal from Fiducia Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. My question was at a little basic level. I want to understand about delivery business. In the earlier part of the call, you mentioned that the delivery business will be added on to the store revenue. Is my understanding correct? That the delivery business is being routed via from your from each of your 164 or 147 stores?
Yes, this is part of the store revenue.
Okay. So delivery, all that personnel and all that required, that is getting added on at the store level?
You mean the cost of doing that delivery is also added at the cost level?
Yeah, that's my question.
Yes, obviously. So all the entire, if that delivery is done from the same store, all the cost related to the delivery, including any advertising, any aggregator commission, any food cost, any employee cost, all are added to the same store level P&L.
Wonderful. And going forward also, meaning the each individual store will drive their delivery business. Is that the way you are thinking about it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kanodia from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rahul and team. So the first question is, when we talk about adding incremental stores in the metro city, and also when we talk about adding point of sale for the delivery business, do you see a need to add another commissary? Because we currently have one in Bombay and one in Delhi. So do you see that?
No, we don't need to. We don't need to add any more commissaries. We are anyway moving towards more and more standardization as the business is expanding. And once we add more outlets in our existing metro markets, those can be self-served from our existing vendors. So at any point of time, we are not planning to add any more commissaries in the country.
Sure. And the second bit again of delivery is that, you know, we have seen delivery becoming an incremental part of, you know, restaurant revenue, and it definitely drives incremental margins as well. So typically we have been always a lunch and a dinner platform, right? But do you see a wide space in the snacking as well, especially just in the you know, delivery business? So for example, other than Barbecue in a Box, you have a, you know, UBP model as well, which is a la carte model. So do you see a, you know, increased focus in the day part of the business as well, just to drive better revenue throughput and better margins at a store level?
We will evaluate that, but you know, as I said earlier, also in the earlier part, that our delivery business is pretty young and also very small, and the market opportunity is large in the two biggest segments of lunch and dinner. So we would focus on optimizing that before we jump into any other you know, segment or day part. But like you said, the opportunity is there, and when you feel that this has now stabilized and this can be added, we will definitely work towards that. But is there a possibility? Yes, there is definitely a possibility.
Sure. And just a last bit on, you know, so when we look at delivery business, right, so how has it been doing in the, you know, 8 metro cities? Is the, you know, recovery in line with what you have seen in the metro markets, or on some, you know, some qualitative color on that would be very helpful.
So in terms of delivery growth, we have not seen any remarkable difference between metro and non-metro. We are present across some, you know, 77, 78 cities today. And if you exclude those metro markets, the average daily sale in these metro markets may be large, higher than non-metro markets on average. But in terms of growth numbers, you know, it is pretty consistent. You know, across all these 78 cities, I won't be able to flag out, okay, this market has done remarkably well. Well, there are some markets which does very well, but you know, but not in terms of you know, really outlier in the business.
Sure. That's very helpful. Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kushal Bhudia for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. We thank you for your time, and we look forward to a good, you know, reopening once the lockdown is over and resuming our business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.